Grab your Bibles, if you will, 1 John chapter number 2 this morning. Go to the book of Revelation, that last book right there, right before that, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. All right, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, right before the book of Revelation, 1 John chapter number 2. 1 John chapter number 2. I want you to think about the statement this morning. I want to challenge you. In fact, this message is a direct result as one of the devotions I had with the young people this week. It's slightly altered and it's a tad bit more filling than what they got. But as I was teaching the young people this week, I had this thought, and honestly, I couldn't get away from it. So that's what we're going to get this morning: perfecting the love of God. I want you to think about it. God instructs us to perfect His love. Now, how can we improve on what's already perfect? Amen. Now, we know if God tells us something, though, we can do it. But God tells us, look at 1 John chapter number 2, verse number 5. This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light. There's a key word right there, light. You underline that word, you're going to see that here in a little bit. And in Him is no darkness at all. The Bible tells us that in God is no dark. Am I in the
You even told us the wrong one?
Uh-oh. 2:5. Is it 2 John? That never happens. 1 John 2:5. 1 John 2:5. Ah. It still ties in. I'm using that verse later. Sorry. Here it is. I'm in the wrong chapter. You knew, after those announcements, you knew this was bound to happen. I apologize. That's why preacher's the preacher, okay? 1 John 2:5, there it is. But whoso keepeth His word in him, verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in Him. Look at chapter number 4 now and verse number 12. 1 John chapter number 4, verse number 12. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us. How do we get to a lost and carnal world who do not understand the spiritual truth? They've been spiritually blinded. How do we get to them the message of the gospel? They see Christ in us. They cannot see God. We've never seen God. But they will see God through our life. I want you to think about that statement that we read in both verses. His love being perfected in us. The title of the message this morning is just that: perfecting the love of God. Lord, we do love You this morning. We thank You for Your love for us. We've enjoyed being in church. I've enjoyed teaching Sunday school. Lord, now I would ask that my mind would be clear for the truth this morning, that the power of God would be evident through the words of God. Lord, we're not asking for You to teach us anything new this morning. We're simply asking that You would reveal to us the truth that would best help us to improve not only our life here, but Lord, the kingdom to come. Because of the life that we live, may we be a testimony for You. Would You show us what You need this morning from us, from Your word? We'll yield ourselves to You as best as we know how. Amen, and you may be seated. Those of you that are electricians or that understand electricity, I will ask you to forgive me this morning. Those of you that do not understand electricity, don't worry. I don't understand it very well either. But I want to use an illustration to illustrate this morning for you the Word of God and this very simple truth: perfecting love of God. When we read or see the word perfect, sometimes it indicates a flawless nature. But when it comes to us, we know that cannot be so. So we find the second definition to the word perfect coming into play. That word perfect means complete, a full circle, a beginning and an end, being completed. So when we read in 1 John chapter number 2 in verse number 5, whoso keepeth His word, that's your responsibility, that's my responsibility. Whoso keepeth His word in Him, verily is the love of God perfected. When I obey God, I am able to take the truths of God, demonstrate them, and find a completed, and here's the word, circuit. A completed circuit. You understand that the electricity that we have in the building, the electricity that you have in your home, is not raw power. If you got in your home the amount of voltage that there is in the substation, there would be no home left. There would be no electricity left. There is a downscaling of electricity. But on the other hand, if you get disconnected from the source of power, you also find a lack of electricity. You'll find high voltage wires leaving a power source. They'll travel through the phone or through the lines, the electrical lines that you'll see as they leave from the power plant to a substation. Then from that substation, they'll go to a light pole. That light pole will run to a box, which will run to a switch, which will run to the light, and we get to complete the circuit when we flip this light on. If any single one of those links is missing, or if any one of those links has a failure or becomes disconnected, then the electrical circuit is broken, and as a result, there's a lack of power. There's no light. Let your light therefore shine before men that they may see your good works is our instruction. We read in 1 John chapter number 1 and verse number 5 that this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. God is the source of that light. But we are to be a resemblance of that light. We are to complete that circuit. We are to be able to flip on the light switch of God's truths to a lost and a dying world where darkness is, where no understanding is of a spiritual truth. We find that God's love for man is that substation. This is that source of power. Because if it was not for the love of God, then there would be no life in this world. 1 John chapter number 4 and verse 19. We find out that we love him. Why? Because he first loved us. Without God first loving us, then we would have no ability to love. We had no ability to love God on our own. There was no access to life. God not only made us, we'll see this in just a minute, God not only breathed into us the breath of life, God gave us the love that we needed to love others and to love him. Without God first loving us, then we would have no ability to love. Without that substation, without that power plant, there is no power. There is no production of love without the love of God. Not only do we find God's love for man being the substation, but if you will, we find a breaker box. We find the power box in a home, that being God's word. It supplies God's love to you and I. John chapter number 14 and verse number 15. If ye love me, keep my commandment. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. There's that circuit being completed. Jesus, God sent Jesus Christ down to the earth to fulfill redemption's plan, salvation's plan on Calvary. But when he left, he didn't leave the circuit uncompleted. He didn't leave us no access to the power source. He said he'll leave us a comforter. He left us the Holy Spirit as access to the power source. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not. We read that earlier that no man has seen God at any time. We don't see God, but that power is evident through the Holy Spirit in our life. For he dwelleth in you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come unto you. We have a promise of a never-ending power source. The Christian life is not an easy one. It is one that goes contrary to my flesh. And sometimes I get weary in doing what I'm supposed to do but failing because I don't do it as good as I could. But I've got the Word of God, that constant power source. We find God's love for man being that substation, if you will. We find the Word of God being that power box, if you will, supplying God's love to man. But when a Christian demonstrates the love of God, we find the light fixture being powered, demonstrating the love of God it has received to a lost and a dying world. First John chapter number 4 and verse number 12, we read it. No man hath seen God at any time. It's a bit of an odd statement. On the surface, that's kind of obvious. But they are to see God through us. And how does that happen? If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and the love of God is perfected, is completed. We find a completed circuit with the love of God. God's love that was born for man at creation, that was demonstrated on Calvary, that was given to us in God's Word, that filled our hearts upon salvation and upon our receiving the instructions of God's Word, that circuit is not completed to a lost and dying world. They will never see the light of God's Word until that circuit is completed and we obey God. We obey His Word so they can see God in us. Point number one this morning is this. Let me digress and then we will progress. Number one, are you in recognition of God's love for you? When I recognize who God is, it keeps me from being distracted by who I think I am. When I stop and recognize who God is, I am no longer focused on who I think I am. No wonder the lights don't ever work in the Christian life for those who are constantly trying to attach themselves to their own source of goodness, their own source of righteousness. But the Bible tells me in Isaiah 64, for our righteousness are as filthy rags. Do I recognize who God is? Isaiah said, mine eyes have seen the King. And then he shortly after says, woe is me, for I am unclean. When I recognize who God is, I keep myself focused on Him and I don't become distracted by who I think I am and my ability to complete the circuit on my own. Am I connected to the source of power? Or have I inadvertently or advertedly disconnected myself from the source of power? In John chapter number 15, we read in verse number 4, abide in me. There's the Word of God. And I in you, there's the Holy Spirit. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, you have no ability, you have no power to produce anything good from yourself. Except ye abide in the vine. You are not the producer of what is good. You are not the producer of power. You are not the producer of what the lost world needs. We're only the branch. And we, if we are taken off from the vine, we are taking ourselves, we are disconnecting ourselves from the source of life, the source of power. No more can ye except ye abide in me. Verse number 5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. Why is the Christian life so complicated? It's not. God gives me the Bible. I read the Bible, and then I obey the Bible. And God's circuit is completed. Why is this world lacking truth? Why do we have powerless Christians having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof? Why do we have a shape of Christianity, but it's nothing than vain religion or tradition? Because we have disconnected ourselves from God. We have convinced ourselves that we have found a better way to do it. God, don't you know that this is the 20th century? Don't you know that that doesn't work anymore? Haven't you seen the sin of the world? I mean, I know you destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, but you just don't know how bad it is. You don't know how hard it is to be a Christian. I mean, I know Christians of yesteryear lost their lives. They weren't criticized on Snapchat or TikTok or Facebook. They were beaten, drawn, quartered, and drawn asunder. They were stoned, they were burned. But you just don't know how hard it is to be a Christian. We have forgotten God's love. When I recognized my need of God, I recognized my need of God only when I recognized His love for me. If John 3:16 is old to you, then you have become disconnected from a power source. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. No greater truth in God's word than that God loves me. Romans 5:8, but God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, while I was living in my sin, while I was dark and unlearned in the way of God, but God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He made way for that power source to make way from heaven through Calvary's blood into my heart and allowed me to experience the power of God's love. We live in and around God's love so much, and we have become so accustomed to seeing and experiencing His love that we no longer recognize it in our daily lives. We've got 27 Bibles sitting around, and yet we're lucky to find one to bring for church on Sunday. We are so accustomed to God's love. America is blessed. We are so accustomed to just assuming that God owes us what we have. But one day those will be taken away. And then we're going to realize we need Him. But why do we wait till then? Many Christians has become what the prophet of Amos had warned about in Amos chapter number 6 and verse number 1. Woe to them that are at ease in Zion. Many Christians never produce in their life because their life becomes a living version of the parable that Jesus spake in Luke chapter number 8 and verse number 14. And that which fell among the thorns are they, which when they have heard, go forth and choke with the cares and the riches and the pleasures of his life and bring no fruit to perfection. So many Christians can tell me about the Bible. They can quote the scripture. They're good Christians. They look good. They smell good. They walk good. Boy, they're just good Christians, but they're powerless. They have no effect on a lost and a dying world because they've forgotten who God is. We are so familiar with the name of God, we don't even know the power of God. We don't know who God is. Have you forgotten who you were? Colossians chapter number 1 and verse number 6. God tells me that one of the greatest blessings of my life, that I was created by God and I was created for God. Colossians chapter number 1 and verse number 16. For by Him were all things created. The number one fallacy of evolution is just training up, and it has trained up generations of people to neglect that God is the creator of the universe. We're not here because of a bang. We're not here because of an oopsie. We're here because in the beginning God said, let there be.
Yes, sir.
Amen. You are not here of your own doing. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him.
Amen.
We were created for God for a purpose. But yet we fight when God calls us to live a life of separation. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy? My body, my choice. Wrong answer. It is not your body. It is not your choice. The only right you have is to obey God, which is in you, which ye have of God. You are not your own. You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. Complete that circuit with your life. If what you do does not glorify God, whether by your mouth or whether by your actions, by what you think, then you're not completing that circuit and you're not glorifying God with your life and your spirit, which are God's. You were created by God for a purpose. That we are finding a suicide rate going through the roof. Because we have a world of people aimlessly walking around that they don't fit in at church. They don't fit in at the public school. They don't fit in at Walmart. They don't fit with the straight crowd. They don't fit with the homosexual crowd. They don't fit here. They don't fit here. And we've got Christians walking around, staring into the eyes of lifeless people, but never once sharing the hope of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It is our fault that our country is in the condition that it is in. Because we who have the light are not shining the light. We have forgotten who God is. We're so convinced that we were left here to make money, and there's nothing wrong with making money. You need it to live. We're convinced here to have a nice house and to have a nice car. I enjoy having a nice house. I enjoy having a nice car. I like my electricity, my running water. I don't want to go back to where it was two rooms and a bath. I enjoy having three rooms and two baths. All right, I don't want to go back to that day. I love the convenience of today. But heaven forbid that we exchange convenience for conviction.
Amen.
Have you forgotten that you are not condemned to a devil's hell? And are you satisfied that, fine, you're not condemned to a devil's hell, but you're satisfied walking through a world of people who have not yet heard the gospel? Romans chapter 8 and verse number 1, There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Jesus Christ, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You probably won't spend much time talking to me before I tell you a story about my wife and I, or my wife and I did this, or my wife and I did that, or we're going to do this, or I love her. I think about her. I spend time with her, so I talk about her. I will tell you a Christian who loves God when that's all he talks about. Or he's not ashamed of the gospel of Christ and he's willing to talk to others about what Jesus Christ did. But I will show you a Christian who has forgotten that the condemnation has been lifted from his hand and he's lost the joy of salvation. Because he never talks about what God did for him. You only hear the excuse, well, that's too hard. It's too hot. It's too cold. They're too mean. They were too nice. They were too busy. I was too busy. And we make excuses as to why we can't be a light. Have you forgotten that you were consecrated by God? Not only was I created by God, but I was made to fill the hand of God. Hebrews chapter number 10 and verse number 16. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their heart, and their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now we're remission of these. There is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. His flesh being broken on Calvary rent the physical veil in twain and granted me access to a personal relationship to the power source. I don't need a high priest to get something from God's word. I don't need Fox News to interpret to me the events of the world. I've got the Word of God. I don't need some philosophy, some philosopher. I don't need some Mr. Fat Bottom to come by and try to explain to me a more perfect way. I've got the Holy Spirit who will guide me into all truth. John 14:6. God did not create me for a purpose of my own choosing. The kids have already heard me say it, and they'll hear me say it till they graduate. You do what God wants you to do. It may not be you may not be a missionary to the darkest jungles of Africa. You may not be an assistant pastor. You may not be a preacher. But have you considered asking God what He wants for your life? You do your children a disservice when you rear them to do what they want. Instead of showing them that God already has a purpose for their life. I don't have to find out what I want to do. I need to find out what God's will is for my life and already obey the plan that God set forth in His Word. Romans chapter 12 and verse number 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. You were created for one purpose and one purpose only, to have a relationship with God and to tell a lost and a dying world how they can have the same relationship.
Remember.
Have you forgotten that it is only by His mercies that you're not consumed? How can we as Christians walk through a world dirtied, filthy, smelling like the world, and convinced when because we walk through the church doors on Sunday or Wednesday that we're okay as we are? But yet, there is no difference between how we're living our lives at the home than how the world lives their life in public. Lamentations chapter number 3. This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness.
Amen.
If you got what you deserved, you'd be dead this morning.
That's right.
But because you're alive, God still has a purpose for your life.
Amen.
Don't become disconnected from the power source. The first way that I perfect the love of God is by not failing to recognize God's love for me. Because it is when I recognize the power from the source that I stop trying to live my life my own way.
Sure.
Step number 2, how do I perfect the love of God? I perfect the love of God by reciprocating the love of God. That word reciprocate is a word of direction, a word of flow, a word of return. Does God know that I love Him? One of the most powerful statements in the entire Bible is found in the book of Genesis. Right before God destroys Sodom and Gomorrah, God and Jesus are having a conversation. He says, I'm going to go tell Abraham what I'm about to do, for I know him. He says, I don't have to tell him, but he and I have a close enough relationship. Before I do this, I want to let him know what's going on. For I know him. We know of God, but does God know me? Are we reciprocating God's love? In a circuit, there must be not only a source of power to the switch, but that switch has got to have a leg back to the box. And if it's not there, then that light won't work. Is there a return to the power source? Am I pursuing a relationship with God, or is it a one-way street? Psalms chapter 42, verses number 1 and 2, one of the sweetest prayers that a Christian can have in his heart and live in his life. As the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? The book of Joel talks about a revival taking place. He says, I will pour out my spirit on him that is thirsty. And you want to know why you don't have a walk with God? It's because you're not thirsty for one. You want to know why America's not seeing a revival? It's because she's not thirsty for one. She's busy filling it up with what the world says we should be doing.
Right.
You want to know why a Christian is powerless? Because there is no desire to have a relationship with God. Is it a one-way street? Am I continuing in God's love, or have I become distracted by what I want? John chapter 15 and verse number 9. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in me, ye in my love. There's the circuit. As I've loved you, my Father's loved me. As I've loved you, now you go love somebody else.
Amen.
There's the complete circuit. God, through Jesus Christ, has given us His love, and Jesus Christ, through God's Word, has shown us His love. And we as Christians who know God's Word are to take the love we know and the truth we know and share it with those who don't. Am I reciprocating God's love? These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. You want to know why we got a bunch of Christians that feel sentenced to Christianity? Because they're not joyful, because they're not connected to the power source. They blame God and tell God it doesn't work when they're not doing what God said would work. We're too busy trying to justify in our own mind our actions and our righteousness instead of getting before a holy God and finding out what He wants us to do and obeying. Am I demonstrating my love for God, or is my love in word only? 1 John chapter number 4 and verse number 20. If a man say that I love God, this is real Christianity, folks. I hope you're ready. And hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not, now love is not, I don't possess love. I don't hold love in my hand. I don't buy love in a box of chocolates on Valentine's Day. I don't possess love, I demonstrate love.
Amen.
I can't just embrace it. I can't just possess it. It's got to be demonstrated. For if a man say, I love God and hate his brother, oh, I love him, He's a liar, for he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen? You want to know why we teach respect for authority for mom and dad at home? Because we're teaching them how to love God. You do your children a disservice when you allow them to be disrespectful to you. When you allow your children to be disrespectful to you, you're saying it's okay to disrespect God. Because the home is an embodiment of the relationship between the Christian and God. And this commandment have we from Him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also. This love is not a lie. This love is not a vain love that only loves on the surface, but then when no one's around, it's a backstabbing love that's critical and it's full of gossip, hatred, malice, and envy and strife. This is a pure love that does not accept a person as they are because that person is perfect, but because God accepted me where I'm at and grew me to where I am now. I am to accept where they are at, but not accept their sin and show them how they can become what God wants them to be. Amen. We are not reaching the world because we are not loving the world. We are not loving the world because we have forgotten, we have not recognized who God is, and we are not reciprocating God's love. Lastly, number three, how do I perfect the love of God? By allowing others to see God's love through my actions. The only way that a circuit is completed and that the world can see my light is by demonstrating to others the love that God has demonstrated to me. You don't need to know church doctrine. You don't need to know the philosophy of life. You don't need to be well versed in the scriptures. You don't need to be some high upper echelon individual to be a good Christian. You need to read the Word of God. You need to obey the Word of God. And I can reach a lost and a dying world.
Amen.
If there was no classification on an individual for getting saved, then there's no classification on an individual who can get close to God and who can be used of God. God loves you. God has a purpose for you. And God needs you to complete the circuit.
That's right.
Attempting to be a good testimony for Christ without demonstrating the love of God is as effective as walking to a light switch that is not hooked up to wires and turning it on and wondering why it's not working. You might as well just nail an empty outlet to a wall and sit there all day and hope that light just turns on. There's so many Christians who have a form. They look like a light switch. They've even got wires connected to a light socket. But there's no light because they got a form of godliness, but they're denying the power thereof because there is nothing behind them. There's no relationship with God. There's no love for God, and there's no burden for people to know the love of God. Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. Well, God doesn't care what I look like on the outside. Wrong. Now, God knows our heart, but intentions is not good enough. A Christian who sits by and justifies living like the world, dressing like the world, talking like the world, is merely using their Christianity as a cloak of maliciousness to justify their own unrighteousness. Matthew 5:16 says, they are to see my good work. I like the old statement that says, oh, the world may never read the Bible. I might be the only one they read. Which version are they getting? Am I living the KJV, or are they getting the whatever else version that's missing 3,000 words? Showing the world that it's okay to live life the way you want. Let me ask you two questions. Is your marriage a demonstration of God's love? Wives, oh boy, are you submitting to your husbands, or are you seeking to usurp authority? I'm going to date myself and I'm going to link myself to the crazies, because as a child I heard those crazy leather nun preachers say the wives that left the factories never took the boots off and went back to the kitchen. Now I get what they were saying. And they get criticized. Well, y'all, what do they call them? Male chauvinist pigs, right? But Ephesians 5:21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife. The wife is not equal to the husband. The wife is to be in subjection. That's not taught anymore. You come see me later, we'll talk about that one. I know you don't like that. But wives are to be in submission to the husband. That does not mean this husband is to be a lord. I'm coming for you men next, so just hold on. Get your amens out now, because watch out, it's going to be on me. But wives, we live in a woman empowerment society that dictates, because I am a woman, I have rights, and I can say what I want, I can do what I want, I can live with my want, because it's my body, my choice, you control your eyes, I dress how I want, and it's your fault if you don't respond properly. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. If the husband's not the head of the home, then God's not the head of the church. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Is our marriage a demonstration of God's love? Husbands, are you proving your love to God by how you love your wife? Are you proving your love to God, to your wife, the way that God proved His love to the church? Or is your relationship purely a selfish one? Men are lazy, naturally. Every one of us got a lazy streak in it. And if they say they don't, they're in denial. We all do. I don't like being sick, but every once in a while it's kind of nice when I do, and I get, you know, weighted hand on foot. You know, it's good.
I'm coming to your house.
Yeah. Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, love. Remember, you can't possess love. Love is a demonstration. You have got a great responsibility. Did you know that God places the responsibility of the home on the shoulders of a husband? No wonder we've got a broken culture, because we've got a broken home with no men in the home leading the home. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ loved the church. What did He do? And gave Himself for it. He left nothing back. It is your job to protect your home morally. Shame on you for allowing the one-eyed devil called a television to be blasting perversions into your home. Father, it is your job to disconnect that stupid thing.
Amen.
Protect your home morally. Protect your home physically. And protect your home spiritually. Can't take over a home without first coming into the home and binding the strong man. Devil doesn't have to try very hard. Because a lot of men just rolled over and said, well, the wife take care of it. That's your responsibility. Are you showing your wife the love of God? That He might sanctify and cleanse it? There's a purity. There's a holiness. There's an intimacy in marriage by the washing of the word. That He might present itself a glorious church. Not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy without blemish. If there's a problem in your home, man, it's your fault. It is not your wife's. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife, this cracks me up. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever hated his own flesh, but nourisheth it and cherisheth it. Not only are we lazy, but we're proud. Why in the world would I hurt myself, cause myself physical harm? Because I felt like it. Why in the world would I walk into my house and cause physical harm to my marriage, emotional or spiritual harm to my marriage, just because I felt like it or had a bad day? Are others seeing God's love? The truest test of your Christianity is the verbal testimony of a child of their parent, of a husband of his wife, of a wife of her husband. Would your wife say that you're a godly husband? Would your husband say that you're a godly wife? Or is it just fake? Is how I treat others a demonstration of God's treatment of me? Romans chapter number 12, verse number 9. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate, one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. Just because I'm an independent, fundamental, hell-believing, fire, hell-damnation-preaching Baptist, amen, does not mean that I got right to be rude or mean to you because there's something I disagree with your life. I can take a very difficult truth. Not doing a good job of it this morning. I'll try again later. But I can take a difficult truth that's hard to accept and with the love of God, not necessarily make it any less convicting, but you kind of see a little bit more clearly because there's a light. There's a physical living illustration of that truth. It's not just words. Ephesians chapter 4, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be ye kind one to another. What happened to being kind and considerate? Be kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Why does my Christian life feel empty? Why does my going to church not satisfy me? Why am I seeking for satisfaction in the world? Because I have not perfected the love of God. I have not completed the circuit. I have not recognized who God is. I am not reciprocating that love to God, and I am not demonstrating the love of God through my life. If you are not perfecting the love of God in your life, then you're not fulfilling your purpose as a Christian. Luke chapter number 14, in verse number 21. So the servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servants, go out quickly into the streets, the lanes of the city, bring in hither the poor, the maimed, the halt, the blind. Are we not servants of Christ? We're not called to be servants of unrighteousness. We're no longer in the bondage of slaves of sin, but we are freed. We are the servants of God. Go out into the streets, the city, bring in the hither, the poor, the maimed, the halt, the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. Amen. If there's an empty pew, it's not full. But what happens when the pews are all full? This is an interesting thought. Being full is not determined by how much harvest is in the barn. Being full is determined by how much harvest is still in the field. Look up. To the fields where they're white unto harvest. There's folks that have been saved. There's folks whose lives have been changed. There's folks who've been baptized. There's folks who are serving God, but there's still more to reach. We are living in a community who has been ravaged by sin. And we sit in here and criticize their lifestyle and walk out those doors and never tell them about the hope of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. I challenge you this morning, church, to perfect the love of God in the community, in your home, as well as with one another in church. Are you in recognition of God's love for your life? Are you reciprocating God's love to Him from you? Is there a personal relationship? Are you seeing God's love? Are others seeing God's love through my actions? Or did they just see a better version of what the world once was? But there's not much difference. Are you perfecting the love of God? Are you completing the circuit? Every head bowed and every eye closed this morning. There were parts of the truth that were a little easier to take than others. But this is bigly Christianity. The world is dying and going to hell. We are losing the next generation to sodomy, to immorality, to suicide. And while we sit back and criticize and blame the world, I challenge you, are you doing your part? Are you perfecting the circuit? Are you perfecting the love of God?